He had two more lawn chairs, and on the ground next to his chair was a styrofoam cooler filled with ice and canned Cokes, and a half pint of whiskey on top of the ice. By the afternoon, the drinks and the whiskey would be gone, and the healthiest of the catches would be nestled in the melting ice. He had figured he'd spend the late afternoon skinning and filleting the fish, and by tomorrow they would be sitting around the kitchen table with fried fish and hush puppies, and he'd get the woman to make coleslaw, and then they could sit on the back porch with coffee and look out across the land that always seemed more vast to him under the night sky. The line hit, and he reeled it in, and a catfish that needed a few more pounds flapped at the end of the line. He twisted the hook from its lip and walked to the edge of the water, and he set the fish into the water gently, and the fish squirmed and stirred up the mud and then disappeared. He sat down again and baited another hook with another cricket and let it fly. "It's finally come on," he thought. "It's finally come on, though it didn't seem like it ever would, and I didn't think I'd be here to see it anyway." He looked at his watch and knew his son should be coming along any time now, if that truck cranked up. He looked around the place. He spent most of his time sitting now, after a lifetime of getting up and doing, buying small houses nobody else wanted, and painting them, and replacing rotted floors, and gutting kitchens, and gutting moldy bathrooms, and doing the roofing, and tiling the floors, and whatever else had to be done. Whatever he could do with his boy. Teaching Russell how to run wire and swap plumbing, and how to measure twice, so that you made damn sure you cut it right the first time. Making these little houses something he was proud of, and then renting them to people who sometimes paid the rent and sometimes disappeared. But no matter if it was good people or bad people living in them, there was always something to do. Always something dripping, or an outlet not working, or a dishwasher not running. Always something to do. And if there wasn't something to do, there was always another little run-down house somewhere that nobody wanted, that was sitting there like a fallen tree in some forgotten forest. And he would buy it and bring it back to life. There was hardly a neighborhood in town that hadn't been touched by him and Russell. Hardly a day had gone by since he had to give it all up, that he didn't wish with the next sunrise that his back and legs would let him do the things he used to do. And not a day had gone by since his boy had been taken up into the Delta and put behind those walls, that he hadn't prayed at night that God would keep him alive until Russell came back home. And here it was. He had prayed twice as hard after Liza passed. Hated like hell that she never got to see him again. Died with her boy locked up in that place. Paying for what he had done. Mitchell had come home one evening and found her lying down in the backyard next to her tomato garden. Work gloves on and sleeves rolled up and lying folded like an old doll. Eyes shut. A tranquil expression on her face. Gone. He hadn't thought much of death until then, but after she was buried, the thought of death seemed to follow him home from the gravesite. It sat with him on the porch as he smoked a cigarette, sat with him in the quiet of the house as he read the newspaper, sat with him at the kitchen table as he drank coffee in the morning, sat with him in his truck as he went about doing what he had always done, and as his knees began to go, as he knelt down to paint, and as the strength in his arms began to go as he lifted ladders in and out of the back of the truck, the thought of death seemed not only to sit with him and follow him around, but also to take root in his mind and spread into his heart and his dreams. His muscles ached, and his joints ached, and his spirit ached. And though he prayed that he would see Russell come down that driveway again, he didn't much believe he would see it happen. Could tell by the way he felt. On several occasions, he had written letters to Russell, trying to convey things to him, that he didn't anticipate being able to say to him in person, but he had never mailed any of those letters, had ripped them into pieces and burned them on the dirt floor of the barn. Didn't want Russell to have to carry around any more than he was already carrying around.